Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. 808.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, today is not only Freedom Friday, but today is the day after National Law Enforcement Memorial Day, which is observed annually on May 15th. We talked a little bit about that here earlier in the week. Man, just in my email inbox just a few minutes ago, as the national news update was rolling there, I thought, oh, I'm going to go check my email inbox here, check any messages that are coming in here on the Montana Talks app. Of course, we're taking your phone calls here on this Freedom Friday as well. And I saw earlier this morning, I got a great email here from Mike Guy in the Billings area. Great guy. And Mike Guy says this. He says, Aaron, I meant to get this to you yesterday. Paul Harvey read this on air when I sent it to him, and it was read at my dad's funeral, as he was a retired Billings Police Department detective. Anyway, it looks like Mike Guy is now on the phone lines. Mike, hey, thanks for that email. I didn't get a chance to give it a read yet, but what did you want to share with our listeners?
Well, it's a poem that I came across when I was on the department, and it's called The Final Inspection, and basically, it's a poem about a police officer standing to face God. And it's pretty moving. And I thought maybe you should have a copy of it and want to share it with everybody.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, no, I'm pulling it up right now. Man, I'd have to give it a read beforehand. And now that I'm looking at it, I feel like I've heard Paul. I wonder if the Paul Harvey audio is available. I'll bet it's probably out there somewhere. Because how cool would it be to, instead of me try to butcher it, give it the proper respect that it deserves and have somebody like a great Paul Harvey share his audio instead. But, yeah, talk about Law Enforcement Memorial Day and just what it means to you and just what it's like this entire week with Police Week in particular.
Yeah, well, it's a very emotional time. I've got friends on the National Wall, friends on the Billings Memorial, and David DeLate, the highway patrolman up out of Three Forks that was killed back in 2010. I knew him since he was a kid. Same with Josh Breeze. Worked with Dave Breeze for years. And, of course, the one that started everything off was, soon after I came on, Alex Mavity was shot and killed here in Billings. And I have a lot of friends, not a lot, a few friends who have committed suicide who are not on that wall, but still, the job had a lot to do with it.
Yeah, I'd imagine it's a lot like military veterans where, you know, Memorial Day isn't just May 15th for you or Memorial Day for the United States. Memorial Day is so many days throughout the year with too many friends to remember, too many fallen to remember. I'd imagine it's very similar with law enforcement in that regard. Mike Guy, hold that thought. I'll come back to you after the hard break here. And then we've got our friend George Blacker joining us for Freedom Friday. He's on the phone lines this morning, and a lot to talk about with George. He wants to talk about Trump's Middle East trip and much more. So stand by.
It's May 16th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Do Something Good for Your Neighbor Day. Started in 2009, the day is meant to show our neighbors that we appreciate them and to show a manner of love and respect to one another. How can you take part in the day? Well, check in on an elderly neighbor and see if they're okay, or simply drop them a note and let them know you're thinking of them. Also on this date, in 1929, the first Academy Awards were presented in ceremonies that don't resemble anything like the red carpet extravaganzas of today. The silent film Wings earned the top honor, taking home the Outstanding Picture Award. No radio or television even recorded the event. If it's your birthday today, you share it with actor Henry Fonda, born in 1905. And singer Janet Jackson, born in 1966. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot. Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Hey, I'll tell you what, we got a great show coming up with Freedom Friday right here on Montana Talks. Gordon Chang, incredible expert on China, very critical of the communist Chinese leadership. Gordon Chang is going to be in Montana very soon with events in Columbus and Miles City. But first, he's going to join us on Montana Talks Friday, kicking off our statewide show, 9 to 10 a.m. right here. We'll take him for as long as we got him, and then we'll get to your phone calls and more right after that.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I was talking with Mike Guy during the break there, law enforcement veteran, and yeah, he totally agrees, much like those of us who are military veterans, Memorial Day isn't just, you know, for those of us, military veterans, Memorial Day isn't just this Monday, May 26th, coming up here in about 10 days. Memorial Day is several days throughout the year. And it could just be randomly you're driving down the road and there's something that reminds you of one of your fallen brothers or sisters. And Mike, you were telling me that, you know, Valentine's Day for you is a Memorial Day because you lost a brother on Valentine's Day in law enforcement. Would you read that poem for me? Because I don't want to butcher it. I want it to get the justice it deserves. Would you read that poem that you sent to Paul Harvey?
Yeah, sure. It's called The Final Inspection. The policeman stood and faced his God, which must always come to pass. He hoped his shoes were shining just as brightly as his brass. Step forward now, policeman. How shall I deal with you? Have you always turned the other cheek? To my church, have you been true? The policeman squared his shoulders and said, no, Lord, I guess I ain't. Because those of us who carry badges can't always be a saint. I've had to work most Sundays. And at times my talk was rough, and sometimes I've been violent because the streets are awfully tough. But I never took a penny that wasn't mine to keep, though I worked a lot of overtime when the bills just got too steep. And I never passed a cry for help, though at times I shook with fear, and sometimes, God forgive me, I've wept unmanly tears. I know I don't deserve a place among the people here. They never wanted me around except to calm their fear. But if you have a place for me here, Lord, it needn't be so grand. I never expected or had too much. But if you don't, I'll understand. There was a silence all around the throne where the saints had often trod as the policeman waited quietly for the judgment of his God. Step forward now, policeman. You've borne your burdens well. Come walk a beat on Heaven's Street. You've done your time in hell.
That's remarkable. And apparently the author is unknown of that poem.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know who wrote it, but I'd love to shake their hand.
Yeah, I'll have to see if I can use AI or something to see if it can pulls up who the author of that actual poem is. Sometimes that's been helpful in some others. The line that stood out to me was, have you always turned the other cheek? That would be one of the hardest things about a law enforcement officer is some of the people you got to deal with and some of the crap they hurl at you, and you just got to stand there and maintain that professionalism and just do your duty. That would be one of the hardest parts of the job. Mike Guy, thank you so much for calling in. What a nice surprise here on this Freedom Friday. George Blackard, how are you holding up after that one? My goodness.
Yeah, that's a great poem. I've heard that in the past, and it's kind of a tearjerker. It makes you think quite a bit. And, you know, that's the other thing. Whether you're a law enforcement officer or in the military, you know, people in the military are asked to do some pretty tough things, things that are hard to deal with a lot of times. And sometimes spiritually they struggle with that. And, you know, it's a soldier is a soldier, and they've been around since Christ was born. And, you know, I think there's a special place for soldiers in heaven, because God knows they are needed, and they're asked to do things that's kind of beyond their control. So it's I know it's tough for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's right. Well, lots to talk about here on this Freedom Friday. Man, all the way from President Trump's visit to the Middle East, absolutely remarkable. I got to hear from Dr. Merdad Kia from the University of Montana and his take earlier this week. First, though, I think you got a chance to see President Trump's speech to the troops. I was listening to it live because it was O Dark 30 Montana time when he was back at Al Udeid Air Force Base in Qatar.
Right. You know, I think the neat thing about President Trump is the troops seem to connect with him really well. When he speaks, they listen, they applaud, they cheer. You can tell that they're really into it. And one of the things about it is they can tell when somebody truly loves our country and is up there not just giving them lip service, not just saying, you know, I'm a great guy, look what I did. And I mean, he really connects with them, and I think that's a trait of an effective leader, and he certainly has their support.
Well, and anybody who's ever been to a Trump rally, he just has a way of connecting with the audience. And because he looks around, he doesn't just get up there and get behind a teleprompter and deliver a speech. He looks around and he notices the reactions of people when he says certain things. And same thing when he meets with the troops, the same thing. And I loved how he gave a shout out. There was, I think, an Air Force Master Sergeant who was there at the speech. And he pointed out that not only was the Air Force Master Sergeant a reservist, as I understand, or a guardsman who was there on a deployment to Qatar, but his stepson was right up the Arabian Gulf, shall we say, and not the Persian Gulf, the Arabian Gulf, up in Kuwait on a deployment as well. So two airmen deployed at the same time together, a father and his stepson. So that was pretty cool, the way President Trump injected those stories as well. All right, George, stand by. Quick break. Freedom Friday with George Blackard. We'll talk more about President Trump's historic Middle East trip right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Perhaps it all just comes down to language. American trade deficits are something many of us aren't proud of, and our current president is determined to address. But what if we called them capital spending surpluses instead? When we buy more goods from a country that they import from us, the net result is that they have more dollars and we have more stuff. What do they do with the money? The answer is buy capital goods from us. In some cases, that's financial capital. Think corporate bonds or federal government debt. Could be real estate capital, or it could be physical equipment like shuttle loader facilities in the Golden Triangle. And it's almost certainly equity on Wall Street, ownership shares of businesses large and small. Many of these things are good, or at least they could be, especially if those investments are used to grow businesses here. In the case of the federal borrowing, it's less clear, since debt purchases by foreigners just prop up deficit spending. That capital spending happens here because we remain a good place to invest. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox in the Fast Lane.
It is All-Star Weekend in North Carolina as the NASCAR Cup Series returns to North Wilkesboro Speedway. No points are on the line, but a $1 million prize is up for grabs in the 2025 All-Star Race. And if you win this race, then it's very likely that you'll win the NASCAR Cup Series title. In three of the last 5 years, the winner of this race has gone on to take the Cup Series crown, including Joey Logano last year, who looks to repeat as series champ this year. 20 drivers have already qualified for the race, and three more will be added before the green flag flies. Two will be determined from the 100-lap All-Star Open, and one will be chosen through fan vote. The All-Star Open begins at 5:30 Eastern on Sunday, followed by the All-Star Race at 8 o'clock Eastern on FS1. For Fox in the Fast Lane, Tony Genualdo, Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've got some great audio clips highlighting President Trump's Middle East tour now that he's on his way home. He's on his way back. In fact, one of the great highlights coming out of his trip to Dubai and Abu Dhabi and the United Arab Emirates was here he is standing with some of the Emirati leaders, and he says, I got to go back home. He says, my daughter just had a baby. I got a new grandbaby. I got to go home and see that baby. But what a remarkable tour this whole Middle Eastern tour was with President Trump. You know, just the massive investments, I think trillions in investments that are going to come to the United States of America now, and the opportunity for American businesses over in the Middle East as well. The boxing out of the terrorists in Tehran and the Iranian regime from their influence. I mean, those guys were just on a terror spree throughout the Biden regime. But here's one soundbite. You know, we were talking with George Blackard about President Trump speaking to the troops at Al Udeid Air Force Base. This was one of the soundbites that stood out to me. Another one, President Trump talked about raising the pay for the troops. Obviously, that generated some applause. But here was another powerful soundbite from the president in Al Udeid.
As president, my priority is to end conflicts, not start them. But I will never hesitate to wield American power if it's necessary to defend the United States of America or our partners. And this is one of our great partners right here. When we're threatened, America's military will answer our enemies without even thinking about it. We have overwhelming strength and devastating force.
George, what stood out to you when it comes to his speech to the troops?
Well, I think the clear message was they were going to get the support they need, the weapons they need, and they were going to get a raise. They were going to get the money that they need. And I think that was a good message. I think in that, if you read between the lines, the things he talked about with the updated generations of fighter jets and submarines and all of that, was he was sending a message to our opponents that, you know, we have one of the strongest militaries in the world. We've seen that the military in Russia that we feared for so many years was really a paper tiger. And I think he's just projecting strength to not just our troops that, hey, we have your back, but to the whole world. And that's a strong message to send that he did. And I thought he made some pretty decent jokes throughout the whole thing, but the one was when he talked about the, F-47 fighter, or, well, he doesn't, yeah, it is a fighter jet, sixth generation fighter jet. And he said, the F-47, anybody know why they named it 47? I don't know. He goes, but that's a nice thing.
yeah, it's funny how he goes off on all these tangents, and he'll be, you know, reading his official speech, and then he's like, oh, by the way.
yeah, exactly. You know, he puts a little humor in there, you know, I thought it was funny. Jesse Waters yesterday had a segment about Trump's visit to the Middle East. And he said, you know, it went so well in Saudi Arabia that the prince rode in the beast to the airport and stood on the tarmac and waved goodbye. And he said Saudi Arabia escorted the president with 5 fighter jets. He said, and Qatar, they had 8. You know, and it was like they were one up in Saudi Arabia on everything. It was great. It said Saudi Arabia had horses. Qatar had horses and camels and dancing swordsmen and this. You know, it was great. They really had fun with it.
The visuals, man, I would tell people, go to my X account, go to x.com/Aaron Flint, and I've shared a few of the videos from the Trump war room, and, I mean, the visuals are straight out of Lawrence of Arabia. It's just crazy the reception that he received over there, but that's because he's got us back on a path to peace. George, hold that thought for a second. I want you to hear this one as well. You probably saw, you mentioned Jesse Waters. Yeah, he had a great segment. Jesse Waters was talking about the hero's welcome that President Trump received in the Middle East. In fact, that mosque, that white mosque that he was at in Abu Dhabi, I've actually visited that mosque. I've toured that mosque myself as well. And it is a massive, sprawling complex. And, yeah, you take your shoes off, everything, right? And there was President Trump. He took his shoes off. They closed the entire thing down. And that is one of their biggest tourist attractions. They closed the entire thing down just for President Trump. And then listen to this.
Ben 47 went to the Royal Palace, where he got a hero's welcome. At this point, Trump's shaken every hand in the Mideast.
I shook more hands than any human being is capable of doing. That was a long deal, and they were big people. But they were starving for love because our country didn't give them love. They gave them a fist bump. Remember the fist bump?
All right, yeah, great segment there with Jesse Waters, but yeah, George, I went and watched that video, and these women and others were screaming in excitement when they saw Donald J. Trump. It was like the Beatles had shown up at the Royal Palace.
Well, he's a celebrity for sure. You know, it's funny, the Biden fist bump. It's kind of a comparison between Trump's spawns and Biden's Ralph Mao. You know, Biden's trying to be cool, but he really isn't, and it comes across that way. But the important thing is the Middle East will be more stable with a strong American president. We saw that when Biden took over, everything started going to heck. And, you know, they respect strength and they respect Trump. And he knows where to push, when to push, what to say. And that's why he's getting these deals done and he's getting them to sign agreements. And one thing you'll notice is in everything that he did over there, he mentioned multiple times, whether it was Qatar or Saudi Arabia or Syria, that they should and must join the Abraham Accords and recognize Israel. So, you know, while he's doing all that, he's also pushing for peace in the Middle East, recognition of Israel.
He gets a reception like that. He gets a hero's welcome like that. And yet, he doesn't have to pander. He doesn't have to give them a bunch of our money. In fact, they're actually sending money our direction. He doesn't have to sell out America or America's allies and friends like Israel. And so, it's absolutely remarkable. And now the Iranians are practically begging to come to the negotiating table as well. They are basically desperate, was the response that Dr. Mehrdad Kia from the University of Montana, who grew up in Iran. That's what was his assessment of the terrorists in Tehran. So absolutely incredible trip. Well, now I want to get George's take. George wants to weigh in on this. I'm not going to be nice, but I think this is righteous anger. This Jim Comey, James Comey, former FBI director, he is just an absolute disgrace. Dare we say he is an absolute dirtbag with what he has done and trying to do to this country. If you guys didn't hear, the disgraced former FBI director was going for a walk on the beach, and he says he came across these seashells that had the numbers 8647 on them. Peter Ducey with Fox News had this summary on Laura Ingraham's program last night.
And Laura, the real head scratcher about this very serious topic is that James Comey wants us to believe, and we have this photo here, that he saw a cool, these are his words, cool shell formation on my beach walk. And the cool shell formation, according to the person who used to be in charge of the FBI, shows shells in the shape of 8647. 86 is common restaurant lingo, of course, for denying service to somebody. But after about 30 seconds of Googling, you can see that a good chunk of people all around the world also associate 86 with meaning to kill somebody. An old mob saying, basically, you take somebody 8 miles outside of town and then you put them 6 feet in the ground.
Now, the other thing that Peter Ducey pointed out is that James Comey, you know, former FBI director, prosecuted the mob. James Comey knew exactly what the heck he was spelling out with those stupid little seashells. George Blackard, your thoughts.
Well, so he made it sound like he happened upon these shells that were already laid out in the 8647 shape. But we know either he thinks we are the dumbest people in the world, or he's the dumbest person in the world. We know he surely did that himself. I don't think anybody is on the beach out there putting seashells down with that kind of message on it. But that, here's the crazy thing. It's not surprising. You have this guy in that place of power that he was in with an FBI that was fatally flawed because of its leadership, and it was rotting from the top down. And, you know, Cash Patel is turning that around. We're seeing a whole new FBI. It's an organization now that they can be proud to be a part of, and they're doing their job now. But this guy is a disgrace to our country, just like General Milley was a disgrace to our country. So it just makes you wonder how they keep putting these people up there, but it's all liberalism and Democrats that keep doing it.
Well, and just the corruption of the Washington, D.C. swamp and these people that want to go back there and kiss the rings of the Washington, D.C. establishment so they can profit off it, so they can get more rank, so they can get a fancier title, and then they can write their books, and they can be on these boards, and they can be propped up, and it's just a total scam. These are the people that are fleecing America. It's why our country is in the position she's been in, but Donald Trump is bringing us back, baby.
Friday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We'll break down the absolute latest on Trump's big, incredible trip to the Middle East and the continued impact that it is having. Plus, we will break down everything in the world of tariff battles and the big, beautiful bill. What is all going to happen there? We'll give you the latest as we head into the weekend. Make sure you don't miss it. Come hang with us on Clay.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, man. Oh, there we go. There's my microphone. Okay. Let's see. I must have been saying something off air during the break there or something. He killed my microphone. That's all right. Let's see. So, George, this is just a funny random thing here. So I shared this story on Facebook yesterday because my wife sends me these funny reels all the time. And so this reel, and I just watched it again because I went to go check Facebook messages, Montana Talks app messages, and more. Anyway, if you go to Facebook.com/Flint Report, you might have seen this. This is the POV, trying to convince the government I have a bee farm at my house so I don't have to pay property taxes. And it's somebody holding up their very fat cat with like a bee costume around their cat, and then they're spinning the cat through the air going zzz, and then the cat's going so anyway, I have completely forgot what other topics we were going to talk about here this morning, but there you go.
Well, I got one for you. So Bruce Springsteen goes to the UK and starts dogging on President Trump and our country. And Jesse Waters has a spot with Kid Rock, which is pretty good. But while I was listening to that, Jesse Waters said, Bruce, why don't you just be quiet and play Born in the USA? Well, Born in the USA is an anti-American anthem.
It's not what you would think it is by just listening to it. You got to hear it.
Exactly. You got to listen to the words and read the words. But Bruce Springsteen is a draft dodger. He dodged the draft to go to Vietnam. He was drafted when he was 19, and he didn't go. And so for him to get up there and dog our country and then pretend to be patriotic with songs that are really anti-America, even though they sound like they're pro-America, he's a phony. He always has been. And, you know, I think Kid Rock said it pretty well. He said, why don't you come to America and talk like that? Instead, you go overseas where, you know, you don't really have to answer for your words over there. But all he's trying to do is appease liberals and Hollywood. And, you know, that's what he's doing. He's a fake, a phony, a draft dodger, and I've got nothing good to say about that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I saw Kid Rock apparently was responding to him earlier this morning on Fox and Friends and just calling him out for, you know, for what a loser he is or something like that. But yeah, there's some of those guys now. If I even see their songs come up, I just click the next button or switch the channel just because it's like, I don't even want to hear from you, man. Get out of here. You know, I'm just so sick of this, these folks who've become very rich off of this country, frankly, and the capitalist system we have, but they want to tear down the very system that built them up. And I'm really bad at knowing the lyrics to songs, too. I don't know. Are you like me, George, where, like, you hear a song, you're like, oh, I kind of like that song. But you have no idea what the lyrics are actually saying. It's like, for like 2 months, I thought that this Sabrina Carpenter song was about bad chem. I thought the song was bad chem, but apparently it's not. Apparently it's something else. Hey, here's that audio I was telling you about here. Let's see. Here we go. So this is Montanans trying to convince the government that we have a bee farm at our houses so we don't have to pay property taxes. Here you go. Oh, I don't know if you can hear it, George, but I don't know. That's I'm going to be laughing all weekend about that.
Oh, man.
We had like four of us on the couch last night just sending reels back and forth to each other. It was epic.
Oh, that's great. Well, and you had to bring up property tax.
Let's just move on from that one.
I beat that to death the last time I was hosting the show. So
yeah.
We'll just keep right on going.
Well, let's get
to Billing City Council for nothing.
Let's get to some good news here. So a couple of headlines from the DailyWire.com. Inflation hits lowest point in over 4 years as the April report was better than expected. Another one from the Daily Wire. U.S. wholesale prices see biggest drop in 5 years, flying in the face of economists' predictions. And then now there's this one from Axios, which is a left-leaning news publication. Hard data suggests tariff-driven inflation and recession fears may be overblown. So this is very good news for all of us here on Freedom Friday. But, George, very, very sad news, very tragic news for the Democrats and their buddies in the media.
Yeah, you know, they're trying to spin everything negatively. I mean, they're really trying to tear this country down. You know, it's the markets are up. Everything's starting to look good. Prices are starting to come down. Trump is working to get the cost of medications down from pharmaceutical companies. So he's trying to bring down pharmaceutical prices, and the Democrats start screaming that it'll cause a shortage and it'll be worse for people if we bring down the prices. And it's just ridiculous. Jamie Raskin, this guy is such a scumbag. He's trying to pass a bill that would require labeling on different items that would state how much Trump's tariffs added to the cost of that item. I mean, they're not for America. They're anti-Trump. They don't care what happens to this country as long as he's in power. They just want him to fail, and they don't care if our country fails with it.
Well, and that's why I would say, you know, the cautionary note, the concern would be, what will America's enemies try to do? Will they try to stop it? Will this go around? Because you remember, look, what happened? Trump's first term. Our economy was rocking and rolling. He had us on the path to peace in the Middle East. And then, of course, the Democrats did everything they could. The media did everything they could to try to stop him, to try to undermine him. And then COVID-19 and China and what they did, whether you think it was unintentional or not, look at the way they covered it up and allowed it. And so look at everything that was done to undermine the incredible success of President Trump's first term and to keep him from taking office again after the 2020 elections, and then look at the damage that happened to America and the decline that we saw after that. And so it makes you wonder, what will they try to do now? Will you know, another terror attack, Middle Eastern related, to try to undermine this path to peace in the Middle East? What will China try to do? Or is China thinking, you know what? We tried the last time, and all it did was lead to a greater American comeback. So maybe we just need to figure out a way to work with these guys.
Absolutely. And, you know, Trump, everybody was screaming about his tariffs. But look, everybody is coming to the table now to negotiate. He's already negotiated with a bunch of countries, changed those tariffs, lowered them, made good deals for America to where we're going to profit and prosper. And, you know, he's right. We've been getting screwed for decades by all of these countries. And he's righting that wrong and righting the ship. So he's really doing a good job. But the Democrats will never admit to any of that, you know. But did you see the story about Kash Patel? He issued a warning after the FBI disrupted a mass shooting terror plot against the military. I thought this was a great thing to see. They are not mincing words at the FBI, at the DOJ. They're not. They're telling people, look, we're going to stop you. We're going to prosecute you. There was a 19-year-old former Michigan Army National Guard member. I can't even pronounce his name. Omar Abdul-Mahid Mohammed Syed. And he had planned on a mass shooting at the U.S. Army's their tank automotive and armaments command, but they stopped it. You know, here was a terror plot, and they stopped it.
Yeah,
and
good news. Great news.
I think it's great.
Yeah, he sounds like a white supremacist, by the way. What was his name again?
Yeah.
Because white supremacy is the biggest threat to the country, according to Biden and the Democrats. Yeah, that guy, Mohammed Mataka Shakalaka Waka Waka. What was his name again? That white supremacist?
Exactly. It wasn't Billy Ray, I'll just say that. It wasn't Billy Ray.
And he doesn't have a mullet. Okay, all right. Well, all clear, all clear, all clear.
Exactly. Well, you know, talking about some of these stories today, Aaron, I'm excited and I'm proud to be an American. And, you know, even though Boeing screwed us over and through, I don't know, mismanagement and all kinds of other excuses that they had, they're not delivering on the Air Force One jets. They're not keeping up.
Oh, so we got to go to Qatar. We got to go to Qatar because Seattle couldn't figure it out. Man, yeah, hold that thought. Yeah. Back after this. Hold that thought.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
All the hand-wringing and all the skittishness on Wall Street, all of the overreaction, because Donald Trump did what Donald Trump was elected to do. He ran as a disruptor, one that shatters illusions, and he challenges old ways of doing things, deporting illegal immigrants, building a wall, the Ukraine mineral deal. Everything he does is out of the box, and most everything he thinks about doing is big, like peace in Europe, peace in the Middle East. I know there are people that just want him to fail just so they can say, well, You failed. Well, at least he's in there taking a shot and taking a swing. He's up at bat.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. I've added another burner to my very large collection of defense products. Why? Because Burner just launched their new compact launcher, the smallest, most compact launcher to date, and I'll be taking it with me everywhere I go. It's the same size as a smartphone, allowing you to conceal carry comfortably and with confidence. It fires 400 feet per second with 41 joules per square inch of stopping power. The size is perfect for women who want protection but can't carry a firearm. It's equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammunition. It's designed to incapacitate an attacker for 30 to 40 minutes. And Burner is legal in all 50 states. There's no background check required. It can be shipped directly to your door. And Burner is trusted by hundreds of police departments and government agencies worldwide. And Burner is proudly American, each unit hand-assembled in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Visit BYRNA.com today, or you can simply try before you buy by finding a Burner dealer and a partner near you. That's BYRNA.com.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Pulino, country music's biggest note. We'll once again shine the spotlight on the most exceptional talent in the industry when the Country Music Association's 59th Annual CMA Awards returns to the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville November 19th. The show will air live on ABC and stream the next day on Hulu with more details on hosts and ticket sales in the coming weeks. Zach Bryan's feud with one-time collaborator John Moreland kicked up a notch after Bryan pulled their song Memphis the Blues from his album The Great American Bar Scene and promised a new version. Bryan removed the song after Moreland took a shot at him on Instagram over a publishing deal with Warner Records. Moreland wrote, $350 million is a lot of money to pay for the F-bomb off-brand version of me. Y'all have a great day. Bryan posted a screenshot of Moreland's comment saying he had always respected and supported him, but after the public jab, Bryan announced he was pulling their duet altogether. That's Fox Country on Fox News. Hey.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, George, I just got a great message from Light Brows in Hardin. Light Brows is a great special forces veteran out there in Hardin. But Light Brows said this, you know, when it comes to Jim Comey, the former FBI director, James Comey, that disgraceful traitor, he said someone from Montana needs to send Comey our state numbers. 3777 and see if he takes offense. You know, that's a great idea. You know, I was just walking along the shore of Flathead Lake today, and wow, look at these rocks. They spell 3777, and then just tag James Comey in the Facebook post or the Instagram post. Yeah, I wonder how old Comey would feel about that.
I don't think he's smart enough to understand what that means.
Yeah.
Oh, but, man. So, you know, I here's the thing, Aaron. Not enough is ever done to these traitors in Washington, the General Milleys, the Comeys, and the people like that. That, you know, and the Ilhan Omars and some of those people that rightfully should be prosecuted for these things that they do, but they're often just let off, you know, without any punishment. But, you know, back to the Boeing thing. So I'm impressed by this. They don't deliver on their contract to President Trump and to America, in effect. They're struggling. They say they don't have enough employees. They don't have enough skilled labor. You know, all these excuses of why they couldn't deliver two planes. Trump goes out, gets them an order for 200 planes, $160 billion worth of contracts. And so, Boeing, you better get your stuff together, get some people hired, put some people to work, and get this done, you know, because he basically saved their butts.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. And how much of it, too, was just the bureaucratic regulations that face every company from our federal government, especially during the last 4 years of the Biden regime in particular? Hey, real quick, before we get some final thoughts here from George Blackard, you know, let's say you're somebody who's thinking, God, I want to do that. I want to go, you know, take my shirt off, get my swim trunks on, and go walk the shores of Flathead Lake. But you're thinking, eh, you know what? I got to lose a few pounds first because I got this dad bod thing going right now. So I got to trim down before I even think about walking on the shores of some beach somewhere with Comey or anybody else for that matter. Well, hey, get a hold of our friends at Billings Last Diet, because whether you're on the shores of Flathead Lake or whether you're out there in Mondakistan, they're going to help you shed that weight fast. Tim in Billings, he lost 100 pounds. Think of what you could do in just 100 days with Billings Last Diet if you've got 30, 60, 90 pounds plus to lose. BillingsLastDiet.com or give them a call, 294-6751. You can attend their in-person seminar if you're in Billings or if you're elsewhere across Montana. Yeah, their remote option is just absolutely crushing it. All right, George Blackard, man, always great to have you here for Freedom Friday. Oh, what else do you want to tell folks across Montana? We got about a minute or so to go here.
Well, you know, Aaron, I always like to try and end on a high note, but things are looking up in America, and don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to those Democrats in Washington that are trying to convince you otherwise. People are making money. People are working. Things are looking up. We've got respect from other countries in the world. You know, things are really, really looking up. Nothing's perfect, but they're getting better.
That's right. That's right. But we've always got to stay in the fight and keep that lamp of liberty lit, right?
Absolutely. So say prayers for our troops stationed all over the world, stateside and elsewhere. It's a dangerous job every day.
Amen. That's right. You know, Freedom Friday, some people call it Red Friday. Remember everybody deployed. And, you know, there was a whole batch of them. You just saw some of them in Qatar the other day that President Trump was speaking with, and then, but still scattered all over the world. All right. We got an incredible guest coming up to kick off our 9 o'clock hour of the show. Gordon G. Chang. He's going to be in Montana real soon. He's the author of Plan Red, China's Project to Destroy America. Gordon Chang kicks off the show coming up here in just a few minutes. Stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Perhaps it all just comes down to language. American trade deficits are something many of us aren't proud of, and our current president is determined to address. But what if we called them capital spending surpluses instead? When we buy more goods from a country that they import from us, the net result is that they have more dollars and we have more stuff. What do they do with the money? The answer is buy capital goods from us. In some cases, that's financial capital. Think corporate bonds or federal government debt. Could be real estate capital, or it could be physical equipment like shuttle loader facilities in the Golden Triangle. And it's almost certainly equity on Wall Street, ownership shares of businesses large and small. Many of these things are good, or at least they could be, especially if those investments are used to grow businesses here. In the case of the federal borrowing, it's less clear, since debt purchases by foreigners just prop up deficit spending. That capital spending happens here because we remain a good place to invest. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.